This is Joe Kelly from the KRLD Morning News. As you're listening to the mid-morning mic check, the rest of our team is hard at work in the 24-hour breaking news center. We'll break in immediately with severe weather, breaking news, and traffic red alerts.
And this is Chad Benson. I'll break through the noise and break down the day's top stories coming up at noon.
Now, the mid-morning mic check with Mike Rogers and Austin York on DFW's number one for news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1080 KRLD. Depend on it.
11:07 at KRLD. As we continue the mid-morning mic check into hour number two on a Thursday morning, and we want to let you know that we are keeping a very close eye on a developing story. Sources are telling KRLD News that there's been a police officer shot this morning in North Texas.
Yeah, and that the suspect is on the loose. Police believe they know where he is, and they're trying to find the suspect. But we've got our own KRLD's Russell Scott, who's going to the scene. That's where the PIO, the public information officer, is going to go. We're going to get an update on that as soon as we can. But
we just know at this point it's in the Carrollton Farmers Branch area.
Yeah, and that they are helping out. And I think that the last thing we knew is something happened around Sam's Club on eastbound 635 on the service road out there.
Okay, all right. I know where that is. Yeah.
So that's all we know, and we're working to get the latest information on that.
And we will have that for you as soon as we get it. Here is the mic check continues on KRLD. It's Mike Rogers, Austin, York, and you, 945-766-1080. You can text, you can call, you can go to the Odyssey app and leave us a voice message. We'll get those on. And we're very excited this morning because
we've talked about him often.
For the first time, we're hearing the voice. You've heard us talk about Iron Ball. That's how he goes by, Iron Ball.
And he will never tell us his name. In fact, even when he wrote this in, he didn't tell us his name.
No, and he said he never wanted to call in or have his voice heard because he has a very distinctive Cajun accent. He's from South Louisiana.
Yes,
down in the bayou. But I guess he's finally decided that
come out of his shell a little bit, and he's got to introduce himself.
And he left us a message on the Odyssey app. I had to clean it up. I'm going to tell you right now. So, Iron Balls, if you're listening, this is
he meant this only for us, but we can go ahead and share because
in its original form, this was not safe for work.
No.
But it is now. Here he is.
Bonjour, es mi. Como se va? Hey, this is me, Iron Balls. Adios, mofo.
Okay. All right.
And he gave us a little bit of his opinion on a current athlete. So there you go.
That's correct. Which is a story we'll get to later on in this half hour, by the way. So,
well, we're glad to know that we could put a voice to the name.
Yes, exactly. Least. And that is a pretty thick, distinctive Cajun accent.
And I'm going to tell you, honestly, maybe he and Curtis, they have been the most loyal texters every single day.
I guarantee.
Yep.
We start this hour with the high cost of housing, which is getting higher. We learned this morning that mortgage rates have now reached their highest level in over a year. On average, a standard 30-year loan now stands at 6.81%. That's pretty high. And you add to that the fact that home prices are nearing record highs, and it is making very, very difficult for home buyers, especially young ones. But it's also a problem for people who already have a mortgage.
This rental property in Arizona is now home for Emily Arner and her family of five. The family was forced to give up their dream house just over 1 mile away after going into foreclosure.
We had no plans to ever leave. That was going to be our home.
Arner, who's a flight attendant, documenting their journey online.
We're just in pure fight or flight mode.
When her husband unexpectedly lost his job last year, they soon fell behind on mortgage payments.
We had no way to cover it, no way to pay for it. And we tried everything that we could possibly think of.
Nationwide, foreclosure filings spiked 21% in the first 6 months of this year compared to the same time last year. They're up 28% from 2 years ago.
If there are economic stresses on a household, people have to make decisions. What bill am I going to pay now? What bill am I going to put off?
And that puts them farther and farther behind until they have no choice but to walk away.
Foreclosures are still well below their peak during the housing crisis more than 15 years ago. But factors like the end of pandemic-era protections, higher mortgage rates, and rising costs for insurance and property taxes are now behind the foreclosure trend moving in the wrong direction.
Should that make people worried that we could see another foreclosure crisis down the line?
I mean, I think we have some protections in place that didn't exist 20 years ago, especially at the state level.
9 months since leaving her family's house for the last time, Arner hopes her story can be a cautionary tale.
If you don't have, you know, savings or a way to cover yourself, it absolutely can happen to you. It can happen to anybody.
That is ABC's Elizabeth Schulze.
Yeah, it happened to a friend of mine. I'll never forget, in the bubble of 08.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when he was living in Arizona, which is one of the hardest hit states, and he went to refi his home, and they said, you bought this thing for $145. Back then, it's worth $90 now.
Oh, no.
And then they wanted him to pay more, and he, you know what? He walked. He took up all his stuff and just left, and it hurt his credit for 10 years.
Yeah.
He said, I'm not going to buy a home anyway in 10 years. So he just rented something for the 10-year period, and finally, it went away. But still, he was one of those that chose to walk and just give it to the bank.
I'll tell you something. We bought, the first house we bought was in 1994. The interest was 9.25%.
That's crazy.
It's just insane. But we refinanced a couple of times. We sold that house and bought a new one. And the last time we refinanced was about 15 years ago. The rate had fallen all the way down to 3.25%.
Awesome.
And the guy said, when we did that and we were signing the papers, he said, by the way, he said, this is the last time you're ever going to be refinancing, because it ain't going to get any lower than this.
I remember when we got lucky with a condo. I think our interest rate over there was 3.75, 3.75, 3.75%. I think.
Yeah.
So yeah, we didn't get much higher.
By the way, the highest foreclosure rate in Texas, according to this study, I don't know why, but it's the 77327 zip code.
That
is in Liberty County, northeast of Houston. Affordable housing, on the other hand, as we've just laid out, these days, that's almost a contradiction in terms. But in San Antonio, they're making it happen, opening up a new apartment complex on the city's northwest side. It's designed for residents earning between 30% and 60% of that area's median income. Now, San Antonio, that'd be anywhere from $20,000 to $50,000 a year. This place is called the Baltazar, and this week HUD Secretary Scott Turner took a tour, telling Austin that he likes what he saw.
It is a 60 units of affordable housing, between 30% and 60% AMI. It opened in 2025, and it took them only 3 months to really fill up that entire complex. It's a beautiful complex, very well done, well built, excellent materials. It's well thought out with sustainable materials like granite and plank flooring. And I met with one of the residents there. His name is Henry. And Henry comes from Chicago. And he had been in a pretty tough situation, had some health issues. But the people at Baltazar really embrace him and his 16-year-old daughter. And he lives there and has been living there now for several months. And, man, I'm telling you, he said, this is not only a place for me to lay my head, but it's a place for me to be restored and to be healed. And the community that I have here is something I've never had before, and that his daughter also can see the example of what it means to be provided for and to provide a safe and healthy living space. And so hearing that testimony from him was a great encouragement to me, and how they built this with the community center for the young children to do after school homework, to get a healthy snack while their parents are at work, and also the gym that they have to promote healthy and safe living, indeed is an example that we can talk about around the country.
I see. So it can be done.
Yes.
Right?
And one of the things that you're hearing more and more these days, and we have some younger people who have just gotten married in our office that are trying to buy that home, that first home, and they say it's harder and harder to do these days.
Yeah.
And that's where you come into this, is the American dream still alive? Can you do it? And some people just believe at the age of 26, 27, oh my God, owning a home, that's a pipe dream.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm going to rent for the rest of my life.
That's just crazy to think about, because obviously when you were younger, I was younger, a home was a major achievement, but it wasn't something that was just unattainable.
It was tough, but not impossible.
No.
And now for a lot of people, it is. Monthly rent at the Baltazar, by the way, it starts at $9. Now, these are rentals.
Mm-hmm.
This is not, you're not owning these, but the rent starts at $900, goes to about $1,260. That's these days.
That's excellent.
That's not bad.
And the thing is, too, he mentioned something, the psychological aspect of all of this is just, it does mean something when you own something that's yours, or you're renting something that you're being able to pay for, and
mm-hmm.
it's not, there's no government assistance. You're doing it on your own because you're working hard. That does have a major effect on you and helps you in the future.
I told you that that last time we refinanced, that was in 2012.
Okay.
And we did a 15-year.
All right.
That means it's up next summer.
Okay.
That
better
house
come
is
up with
gonna
the
be
rest.
Paid for, and brother, there's going to be a party.
That's right. And I'm ready. You bring that, what was that, fire breather or something
right.
you had last time?
The fire dancer. Stony Fires. Get her back and have a big backyard party again.
What do you think she's looking like these days?
Been a while.
Yeah.
Coming up, one of the longest running annual events in Dallas. It's not going to be in Dallas anymore. The North Texas Irish Festival. bill is moving. Where? We'll tell you next.
The Mid-Morning Mic Check with Mike Rogers and Austin York on DFW's number one for news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1080 KRLD. Depend on it.
All right, in just a few minutes, we're going to check in with Russell Scott. He is on the scene at, it's in Northwest Dallas County. A local police officer has been shot, and there are different reports as to the status of the shooter, whether he got away or been caught perhaps, but Russell's all over that story, and he's going to have more information for us here coming up in about 10 minutes.
Yeah, live report at the bottom of the hour, but again, an officer shot is what we're hearing sources tell KRLD. So, like I said, Russell Scott is on the scene, and again, for a moment there, we knew that there was a suspect that was on the loose or apprehended. We're not too sure. He's going to sort that all out for us.
Well, it is one of the most popular annual events in Dallas, but going forward, not going to be in Dallas anymore. Along with Neiman's and AT&T and the Stars, now you can add the North Texas Irish Festival to the list of businesses and events bailing on Big D.
Oh, man.
After 42 years at Fair Park, the only annual event that has run longer at Fair Park is the State Fair.
God.
Irish Festival.
Did you go to these things a few times?
I've been to a few. A lot of fun, but they're moving to Dent, starting with next year's festival, which is always held in March. It's going to be at the North Texas Fairgrounds in Dent, just off 380 in the heart of the city. Now, this event is organized by the Southwest Celtic Music Association, which says it's been looking to move the event for years now. According to the Morning News, they had also looked at Arlington, Mansfield, and Addison.
Well, they really want to move it out there.
And why leave Fair Park? Well, one of the organizers tells the news, Robert Wielanski, that it was Fair Park was just getting too run down.
Oh, man.
Quoting now, this is one of the organizers, I'll try to be polite, but Fair Park has deteriorated a lot in the last 40 years, especially in the last 10. There's been very little upkeep.
You know, that has been
end quote.
One of the main concerns for that place. Even as a guy that just goes to the Fair Park, I always just say, I hope that the city is doing enough to put back into Fair Park.
Well, they turned it over to that for-profit group.
I don't remember how long ago.
Apparently, that was a disaster.
Yeah.
And then you throw in parking problems, security concerns, and the fact that after 42 years, the Irish Festival still couldn't get a long-term deal with the city.
Well,
it was always year to year.
I'm telling you, cities have to understand this, man. You're going to have competition from outside cities. Got to do it.
So once again, Dallas City Hall.
Good Lord.
Screw up a one-car funeral.
Okay.
So the Irish Festival is moving. This year was the last. In March, they'll be in Dent. You know, we talk about lists on this show a lot. And speaking of the Morning News, they're out with one that should spark some debate. The top 25 pro athletes in Dallas-Fort Worth.
Okay.
Under the age of 25.
This got me.
25 and under.
Okay.
And this is timely because we do have some of the best young athletes in the country.
Yeah, a lot of them. Very young, too.
The list runs the gamut. From gymnasts to golfers, track and field. We'll hit you with the top 10. A tie for 10th between Olympic gymnast Hesley Rivera.
Never heard of her.
Oh, no. Remember her? She's at the Olympics? Yeah, a couple of years back in Paris.
All right, I guess.
She's big. And Cowboys guard Tyler Booker.
I know him.
Ninth place is Dallas Wings rookie AZ Fudd.
I know that.
Caleb Downs is 8th.
Already, okay.
Seventh is a high school athlete.
All right.
Cooper Lutkenhaus, who is just 17 years old. He's from Justin Northwest High School. He recently won the 800-meter final at the U.S. Track and Field Championship.
Guy can book it.
Kid's running professionally for Nike now. Number 6 is the Rangers' Wyatt Langford.
All right.
And that brings us to the top 5. Number 5. Okay. That is Cowboys wide receiver George Pickens.
I agree with that.
He's just 25 years old. Number 4, at the tender age of 23, is the Stars' Wyatt Johnston.
Down low! Johnston scores! Wyatt Johnston!
Wow.
With 3:56 to go!
Would you agree? Number 4, would you put him higher, lower? Where do you put him?
Yeah, I was initially thinking Jason Robertson, but he's 27 now. He's
okay.
An old man.
I guess.
Wyatt Johnston is he's a good young player.
I'd put him in the top 10, there's no doubt. Number 4 is a little high for me, but
number
go
10,
ahead.
Definitely. Number 5, I can see him top 5.
Okay.
Number 3, back to the Cowboys, and Tyler Smith.
Tyler Smith is the best interior offensive lineman in football, according to NFL coaches and executives, and he even drew a comparison comparison to a prime Jason Peters playing guard.
This really surprised me that he was number three that high. An offensive lineman. Now he's good.
He's very good. He's also 25.
Yeah, but I was thinking they would probably go somebody a little bit more high profile.
Now, number two and number one, this is where you and I are kind of in agreement on this. Here's number two.
Cooper Flagg again.
Watch Cooper Flagg gear out and in with authority.
That's my number one, man. That's not my number one. I'm sorry.
I would agree with you. Cooper Flagg, he's just 19 years old. And it's right. If he's number two, who could possibly be number one?
Well, go ahead. Play it.
The best local pro athlete 25 or under, according to this survey, is the Wings' Paige Beckers.
Beckers with a steal. With two. With one. Let's it fly. Got it!
Okay. Definitely top five.
I just think not number one. I mean, it's not, again, I'm not knocking her ability in the WNBA, but it's not a huge league in this market. It's becoming a little bit more popular, obviously. But Cooper Flagg, coming off the Luka trade, he had the whole franchise to say. This is where I think, and he's looking like he is everything advertised. Paige Beckers didn't have that kind of pressure on her.
Definitely top five.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I don't, and nothing against her.
No.
She's an incredible
talent.
People
are going to say you chauvinists and whatever.
But
number one.
Cooper Flagg, the pressure on that kid.
Yeah.
Coming in his rookie year.
And this was like, hey, you can't miss with this guy. He's only 18 and he seems like he's answering all the calls. Paige was just thought, all right, she's going to be a very good player. Number one overall pick. That's great. But not to save a franchise.
Cooper Flagg, he's got to be number one. All right. When we come back into the second half hour, there's some of the writers in the Women's Tour de France. I didn't know there was a Women's Tour de France, but
neither
there is. And some of the writers, they are acting like a bunch of boobs, literally.
The Mid-Morning Mic Check with Mike Rogers and Austin York on DFW's number one for news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1080 KRLD. Depend on it.
Well, a war of words has erupted in the wake of Michigan's Democratic primary, in which a former state health official, a self-described Democratic socialist, backed by Bernie Sanders, among others, he won a very close race against a more centrist Democrat to represent that party in Michigan's Senate race.
Michigan's new Democratic Senate nominee, Abdul El-Sayed, firing back at President Trump after the president said this during an event in Las Vegas.
When I watch Abdul, he's full of he hates Jews and he hates Israel.
El-Sayed has been critical of Israel's military action in Gaza and supports cutting off U.S. military aid for Israel. But he's vowed to fight anti-Semitism and he brushed off Trump's comments.
The man can't stay on focus. We're living through an affordability crisis that is generational. People are paying nearly $5 in gas because of a war he started. And half the time, if he's not talking about me, he's talking about the drapes in his ballroom.
The closer than expected primary win by El-Sayed, who's never held elected office, exposes a divided Democratic Party. His positions have been called extreme by critics.
So this was a big win for the far left in the Democratic Party. But will
can they win in the general? That's the big question.
Can he win in November?
If they do win in November, then I start seeing probably more of these kinds of candidates popping up in the Democratic Party in other states.
By the way, the Republican that he's going to be running against in November,
you're the last vestige, man. Who knew you'd be the standard for the Republicans in Michigan?
Guy named Mike Rogers. He's going to be running against him. The feds, meanwhile, are looking into a close call involving the president's official helicopter, Marine One.
The FAA and NTSB are investigating why this passenger jet was allowed to take off from Reagan National Airport near D.C. Tuesday, moments before President Trump took off from the White House on Marine One when airspace should have been cleared. The two aircraft breaching the FAA's minimum safe distance protocol.
Tower, just want to make sure you copy Marine One, 3 minutes to lift.
Prior to takeoff, air traffic control audio capturing Marine One's pilots giving controllers multiple 3-minute warnings, which under standard protocol would prompt controllers to then pause commercial traffic at Reagan. But during Tuesday's departure, controllers appearing not to hear that critical 3-minute warning, one even mentioning the lack of advance notice.
Marine One, you said your proceeding is brief?
Yeah.
National Tower, that's Marine One, proceeding as briefed.
Okay, no, 3 minutes, Roger, proceed as briefed.
The two aircraft momentarily coming within 1.5 horizontal miles and 500 vertical feet of each other, violating the FAA's safe distance procedures.
And this was an Envoy air flight. They're owned by American. It's one of their regional carriers.
What is going on in the skies around our nation's capital? Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got Dulles that's had all those issues, then Reagan now having an issue here. I don't know the air traffic controllers over there. Something's not at right.
Just going to fly into Baltimore.
That's right. Stay away from it. Go to Newark. That has all the problems. You'll be safer.
You know, back during the Winter Olympics, we told you about some of the male ski jumpers stuffing a little extra down their pants when getting measured for their suits. Not to impress the ladies, but to give them a competitive edge, because when it came time for the actual competition, that padding or whatever they put in there had been removed, and that left some extra fabric down in the crotch
flap
area.
Okay.
Yeah. And that extra fabric, then it would pop out their sides when they were flying through the air. That would give them an aerodynamic advantage. It's like a mini parachute. It kept them in the air longer.
Just like 5-6-year-old, we're laughing.
Well, now it's the women's turn. At the Tour de France Femmes, one of the biggest bike races for women.
Dutch media has reported some teams have raised concerns about riders adding bra padding to help with their aerodynamics. The rounder the torso, so the thinking goes, the less wind resistance bikers will get on their thighs, making it easier to cut through the air. This is especially relevant in time trial events where riders are hunched in a different position and have to race against the clock. And there's actually some science to back this up. Those Dutch reports cite a study that found chest fairings like this could save about 0.8 seconds per kilometer. May not sound like a lot on its own, but the longest stage of the Tour de France Femmes is 175 kilometers. That adds up to seconds that could make or break a tournament. The issue is apparently so concerning that the race's organizers have issued a new policy. No less than 10 minutes before setting off, cyclists have to have their outfits checked for any illegal modification. Anyone who's found to be breaking the rules could face fines or disqualification, meaning their chances of winning it all could be in wind.
So if you're watching this race and you're thinking, man, these women are built.
That's right, yeah, built. Is that the word you're going to use? Man, they have some augmentation.
There's a reason.
All right.
Unless they stop them from doing it.
Maybe that's certainly why you tune in, because they do wear those tight biker outfits.
Just like the ski jumpers,
yeah.
Right? All right, taking one final break, we'll be back to wrap things up with a look at today in history as the Mic Check continues on KRLD.
The Mid-Morning Mic Check with Mike Rogers and Austin York on DFW's number one for news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1080 KRLD. Depend on it.
Stick around at the top of the hour. We're going to hear from Russell Scott again. He is on the scene at a shooting in Northwest Dallas at a Walmart Sam's Club, Midway and 635.
Yeah, it's right next to each other, apparently.
Where a local police officer has been shot. And Russell's gathering more information at the scene. And we'll have that for you in about, like I said, about 10 minutes, yeah, top of the hour.
The good news is KRLD sources are telling us that a suspect has been apprehended. Yep. It's at least one. We don't know if there are others, so we're going to continue to follow that story.
Today is August 6th, and as we look back on this date in history, we're going to start with one that I think you'll appreciate.
Yeah.
40 years ago today, 1986, it was officially announced that Timothy Dalton would become the fourth James Bond, replacing Roger Moore.
He was okay.
He only did two movies.
Yeah.
The Living Daylights and License to Kill.
He played the character as close to the novels as he possibly could. It wasn't like the Connery and Moore Bonds that were kind of made some jokes and whatever.
It was exactly.
Much more serious.
Yeah. And then he only did those two movies, and he got replaced by Pierce Brosnan, who didn't last long himself. August 6, 1965. It was 61 years ago today. President Lyndon Johnson signed the Voting Rights Act into law.
The denial of the right to vote is still a deadly wrong. And the time for injustice has gone.
Now, more recently, the U.S. Supreme Court has gutted that law in two separate rulings. 70 years ago tonight, America lost one of its big TV networks.
This is the Dumont Television Network.
The Dumont Network.
I never even knew this.
Nope, I was not around for the Dumont Network. It was named after the man who invented the cathode ray tube back in 1931. The network had actually gone bankrupt 1 year prior, but August 6, 1956, they faded to black for good. And 81 years ago today, on this date in 1945, just a few weeks after the first atomic bomb test in the deserts of New Mexico, the U.S. became the first country to use one on the Japanese city of Hiroshima.
One of the crew members said, "My God," when he saw what had happened. What had been Hiroshima was a white mountain of smoke, and when we saw it first, it was already up to 25,000 feet. About 1,000 feet off the ground, it looked like boiling dust.
About 150,000 people died that day, and another 100,000 3 days later when a second bomb was dropped on Nagasaki. But it achieved the desired result, because less than a week after that second bomb, Japan surrendered and the war was over. Those two bombs, by the way, named Little Boy and Fat Man, remain the only nuclear weapons ever dropped on a civilian population.
Who gave them those names? How did they get that? Little Boy and Fat Man, that's what we're going with here.
And the plane that dropped the first one,
The
Enola Gay.
Enola Gay, that's it.
All right, that wraps it up for us. Mike Rogers, Austin York here. It's mid-morning mic check. Thanks to everyone who participated in the show today, especially you, Iron Balls.
Nice
to finally hear from you, buddy.
Yeah.
So we've got Chad Benson. He's coming up next. Hey, if you missed any of the show today, check out the podcast version. And we'll be back with you tomorrow to wrap up the week at 10 o'clock.